weekend's already been so special, even with the prophetic worship and stuff we got to do last night, the worship night on Friday, and then just this morning. So I want to take some time and kind of talk a little bit about my journey in prophetic worship, doing music, the heart posture behind that, but then I also want this morning to be very practical for each and every one of us. I want us to have a real takeaway for what is it to really worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so I'll have a couple scriptures, some key takeaways, but let me just pray for us again as we kind of enter into the Word of God. I'll share a little bit of my testimony. We'll jump into it together. How's that sound? Well, dear Lord, thank you so much for, Lord, your faithfulness in our lives. Lord, I feel like that really is what worship is turning our thoughts, our emotions, our affections towards who you are. Lord, thank you that together we get to do that as a family. But Lord, I just ask that even in our own quiet times, that you would help us to steward that well. Even in the mundane, when things are difficult, Lord, I just ask that you would help us to steward our hearts before you in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, my name's Tim Jansen. I live in Kansas City, and I got the privilege of serving at the House of Prayer for over 10 years. I started back in 2006 on a little worship team and stuff there. And I've had the privilege with playing with pretty much everyone there, getting to do one things, play in the prayer room. So it's really been a special journey for me. But I'd like to, whenever I'm sharing like this, I kind of like to start with some of my own personal testimony, which really starts before I was born. And I feel like that really ties in with my connection to worship. And so I'm adopted, and my birth mom got pregnant with me when she was like 16 years old. She grew up in a Christian household, and as soon as she got pregnant out of wedlock, she knew that turning to the Lord and asking him what to do with the baby was what she needed to do. Now, what's interesting is my birth grandpa, years ago, has walked across America 8 times in the intercession of the ending of abortion, which, as you know, this last year, there's been some major shifts and changes, and so being part of that heritage was incredible. But so he's in the middle of these walks when my birth mom conceives, and so she goes to them, asks what the Lord has, and they feel very strongly to put me up for adoption. And so they do. I get connected with my beautiful family that I was able to grow up with. But one of the promises to my birth mom was that from the Lord, he told her that if you put this child up for adoption, I will fill him with joy all the days of his life. And I share that because all my years in drumming at IHOP, one of the things that I got the most was that everyone's like, man, you're just like the happiest drummer like we've ever seen. And every time someone would say that, it was a reminder to me of the promise over my life to my birth mother. And so every time I was worshiping, it was a reminder of the faithfulness of God in each one of our lives. And so I just love worship. I enjoy worshiping. I get to partner with friends and family on stage, get to partner with you guys in the room. But that part of my testimony, I feel like, really plugs into why I love worship and why it's such a special reminder for me every time. And so anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit this morning to us about worship and what that looks like just in our daily lives, and what are some things that we as believers can cultivate in the place of worship to grow, to overflow. And so there's several things during this last weekend that have been hitting me. And so I'll share a couple of these things. Hopefully I'm able just to tie these things together. But one of the ones I was feeling this morning as we were doing some prophetic worship was this concept of each and every one of us being vessels for the Lord. Vessels for the Lord, both to receive and to overflow and give. I mentioned in the first part, I really picture worship as being that moment where we turn our heart, our gaze, our affection, and we recenter it on who God is, like his character qualities, his loving kindness, his mercies. And I feel like as we do that, whether it's corporately like we're doing together this morning or in our own quiet time, it's in those places then that we are able to overflow to those around us. We're able to bring life to those around us. And it really comes from that partnership in the place of prayer, in the place of worship with the Lord. And so I don't know where each and every one's at in this room, but just a re-encouragement that the Lord really sees those hidden things. He sees when we actually turn our hearts towards him in the place of worship. And whether that's worshiping with the word open and we're reading Psalms 23 and it hits us in a new way, or whether we have worship music just playing in the house while we're doing dishes, like he sees those things, and he, out of that, then can cultivate things in our lives. And then we get to step out in obedience and be an overflow to those around us. But one of the things I was kind of feeling as I was playing and even went into that kind of drum section was this concept of restoration. But I felt like it did plug into this thought of being a vessel. And there's areas sometimes in our lives that need that restoration so that we can be filled, so that we can pour out. And so my prayer, even over you guys this morning, even after we leave, is that when you guys worship, the Lord would continue to bring restoration to those things in your lives that need complete healing. And so, anyway, so that's just one of my prayers for you guys as well. So kind of moving along is as far as like how my testimony kind of ties into this, I feel like when we open the Word of God and there's something very specific that stands out to us or strikes us, we need to slow down and pay attention to those moments, because when we see those words afresh, I feel like those are the deep wells that worship then can actually come out of. So for me, one of those has been 1 John 3:1, because it ties in with my adoption story. And that has been both a huge testimony in my life, is an understanding of the Father's heart towards me, his love and affection for me as a father. Because I was naturally adopted, it was kind of easy for me to plug in this concept of being adopted into the family of God. But in 1 John 3:1, it talks about what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And so I'm using this for an example. The scripture might be different for you. The song or something you're listening to might be different. But I feel like for me, when I read that and when I meditate on that, that it's his great love that's been poured out over me, that I should be called a son of God. I've often thought about it, it's like it took 18 years for my birth grandpa to walk those 8 times across America. And I remember one time, the Lord's kind of funny sometimes how he poses questions. He's very good with how he poses questions, and you'll even see that in scripture. But I remember one time the thought came to me, he's like, Tim, what if he did all of that and all that interceding? What if it was just for you? What if 18 years and 8 walks across America for the ending of abortion was just to save your life? Would that be valuable? And that thought just struck me in such a new light. And so, again, so then when I, with that being my testimony, when I read 1 John 3:1, it hits me in a new way, and out of that can be this overflow of thanksgiving to the Lord for his father heart over me. And so my encouragement in that then for each one of us is to find those scriptures that the Lord's directly speaking to you. What's coming up? What is he bringing up? What are the things that, maybe they're repetitive themes that you need to take some time in your quiet time to look back and see, what are these things that are consistently coming up, and kind of zero in on those. And I feel like he'll have something there for each and every one of us here to be able to to dig in a little bit deeper and then let the overflow of worship come out of that place. Just a couple other thoughts. I feel like Psalms 103 and Psalms 139 are two amazing passages that David is reiterating both the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, like in his own life. It's this cultivation of testimony. And again, I shared a little bit of mine, but I want to remind each and every one of us here that we have, and you have, a testimony before the Lord that he's wanting to use, that he's wanting to speak through you to those around you through that testimony. And worship and prayer is one of the ways that we can continually cultivate these things in our life. They have to be a parallel to everything else that we do, because they keep those waters churning so that we don't get stale in the quiet place, so that we can actually reach out and bless those around us. So I mentioned a little bit before that worship, and we do it like on a Sunday morning together corporately, is so beautiful, because as we're singing these songs, even like this morning, there were just so many of those that they hit me in the Lean Back song, Into the Arms of a Loving Father, like that, like just speaks like directly to me. And maybe there were some songs this morning that you're just like, yes, like that is what I needed to hear this morning. But it's also so that we can turn the affections of our heart to who the Lord is. And that's important in our day-to-day lives, because as soon as we walk out of these doors, we're back out in the world. We're back out around our coworkers, around our schoolmates, around those, our neighbors. And if we're together and we've cultivated these thoughts and understandings correctly about who God is in the place of worship, it changes how we can have those interactions with the people around us. When we remember, for me, that the Lord is a loving Father, that he has showered me with forgiveness and love, then I can more easily express that to those around me. And it becomes part of my testimony. And so I want us to think about that. When you come on a Sunday morning, it really is that refreshing. It is that getting filled up, that zeroing in, so that we can take it out when we go. So again, I mentioned Psalms 103, Psalms 139. I think David just exemplified in Scripture so well what it was to, in the secret place, worship and love the Lord. But then when he stepped in front of people, when he actually had to live that out, it was just something that he did. It wasn't something that he had to make up and try to accomplish. It was something that he had made a lifestyle. And so I think that is so encouraging to all of us, that when we're just watching the sheep, whatever that looks like for us, when we're doing our daily work, like, are we cultivating that worship so that when the lion and the bear, when Goliath comes, when angry kings are throwing spears at us to kill us, when we're being chased, when all these things are happening, have we made a lifestyle out of worship so that is the first thing that comes out of our hearts? You know, Scripture says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's really easy to know what's being cultivated in our hearts by simply what comes out of us. And so that's a good litmus test, I think, for all of us. But the more that we're rooted and grounded in who God is, and we take that to him in the place of worship, I think that is the key. That is the deep thing. So I feel like if I had to break this down, and I won't share too much longer than actually I'm going to invite my wife to come up and just share one thing, and then we're going to go into some ministry time. But I think it's really important to remember three keys. And I'm going to share this because regardless of which one you're struggling with, or if you have a complete understanding of all three of these categories that I'm going to mention, I feel like it's also important when when we're taking it to the streets or we're explaining it to someone else, it's like, here's some important things to have a deep understanding of when we're thinking about worship. I'm going to invite you just to turn in your scriptures to Psalms 24. And this is another scripture that hit me while I was here. I really enjoy running, and so I had to go for a run the other day. I obviously enjoy the mountains, and the altitude is a little bit more here than in Kansas City. And so thankfully I run enough that it saved me a little bit, but I definitely recognized the lack of oxygen much quicker than in Kansas City. And it's so funny, I remember this concept of acclimation. I'm kind of sharing this because it is why I turned to Psalms 24, and then I got more out of Psalms 24 than I bargained for. But I remember the concept of acclimation, like coming somewhere, being somewhere so that you can actually breathe when you get there. Like football teams, I think when they play Denver, they come in early so that they can be in the altitude and get used to it so they don't pass out on the field. And so I've often thought about this when it ties into our spiritual lives. There's times where we are going higher in the spirit, where there's more responsibility, there's other things that have come. And again, I'm sharing this just as a little tangent, but it does tie in here to Psalms 24, that sometimes as we move higher and there's more responsibilities and things that the Lord's calling us to, there can be a little bit of this acclimation process that he has to take us through. And sometimes we can be disappointed because we're like, Lord, I'm not breathing as well as I did at the lower altitudes. I'm not performing as well at the higher altitudes. And he just reminded me after that run, he's like, I am patient with you. I'm in this with you. As you go higher, I'm going to help you acclimate to every new step that you take in the spirit. And so that was encouraging to me. I'm just going to throw it out there in case that resides with anybody else. But Psalms 24 talks about ascending the hill of the Lord. And that was the plug-in that I thought of. It asked the question, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? So breaking down these three sections really quickly. So it starts out with talking about the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. So this first section reminds me that in order to worship, I have to be established in knowing first just who God is, that he is exalted above everything else, that the world and all who live in it belong to him. So that's the first kind of foundational piece that has to be established. I have to dig in scripture and in prayer to know who God is. Maybe that's kind of locked in for you. Maybe you're like, okay, we're good there. Second, starting at verse 3, then says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. So for me, this is a reminder of who I am. So ridding myself of bowing down to idols, actually seeking the Lord's face, honoring him, and pursuing him, and knowing that in that there is blessing. So I feel like that's the second thing, is being established in who I am before the Lord. Now this third section I thought was kind of interesting, 7 through 10. It says this, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. As I was reading this passage and thinking about worship, if you picture King David writing this, who was very familiar with battle, the concept of gates being opened to let another king in a good way, was a sign of surrender. It means that you are throwing open the gates to let the new king come in and have his rule and reign. in that city. And so as David's pinning this, I just felt it in a new way over my life. I'm like, Lord, that's a call to me to throw my gates open and let the King of Glory come in so that in my life, in my interactions, it's actually his kingdom that's coming out of me and not my own. And so this third one is, how do we take knowing who God is, knowing who we are, then how do we live that out? Are we letting him be the King of Glory in our lives? Are we actually letting his kingdom be the one that's coming out of us? And so that's an encouragement, I think, to all of us, whether it's who God is, who we are, or maybe there's gates that we need to fling wide to let the King of Glory in so that he can actually not only establish that in us, but that it develops that testimony around us, I feel like is good. And so I just really want to encourage all of us in these things. And as I've talked about worship, it's pertained a little bit less to kind of just the musical side of things. But my wife has shared a couple things, I feel like, even over the last few weeks, just about worship and actually what it practically looks like to live some of those things out. So I want to just invite her to come up and share a few of those things that have been on her heart. And then what I'd like to do after that is take us into a ministry time. And at that point, we'll have the worship team come up. And I want this to be a time of asking the Lord, okay, like in my life, like we're a family here. Like, what are those things that I need to start stepping out in? Like, what are those things that the Lord's placed in front of me that as I cultivate a place of worship, then that I can move into? And again, maybe that is sharing the gospel with coworkers. That's one that he's hit me with. Another one for me is there's several young, I'm a youth leader, but there's several other young men that have kind of reached out and want mentorship. And I feel like that's really an area the Lord wants me to lean into. And so as we cultivate this place of worship, what are the areas that he's wanting us to lean into? And so I want us to kind of have a little ministry time around that just to kind of quiet our hearts and lean into that. And so I'll give the mic to my beautiful white cat.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we were just talking about worship, and I was like, oh, well, what are you going to talk about? What does that mean to you? And when I think worship, of course, it's a lifestyle, of course, is obedience and all these areas that to God, but I think sometimes we think music in that expression. So I was kind of thinking, what does that mean to you when you're drumming and doing musical worship and stuff like that? And just how to connect more, how to make it more rich and authentic for just yourself and God and for the people. I think that's been a journey I've been on. And so we just got talking, and things that I feel like I've learned in the last couple years of is just like picking every song and every lyric, kind of knowing what that means to me about my life and God. What do I know? And not really just letting the song go by without really meaning that or picking, but also it's like dual connecting with what's going on in the song, what you're saying to God, but also just enjoying the music and who you are in that expression, and that it's like this dual thing before God, because you do have a personality, you do have a certain style you love, you know, but then really engaging every song, every verse. And that's maybe if whether you're listening or you're playing, but that has just kind of changed worship for me in the past. I would be like, oh, you know, what songs should I do, or what songs is everyone doing that would be helpful? You do want to do ones that people know, and all of that is valid, but I think I've learned more to really, like, what ones do I really love, and the style and the lyrics connecting with each one and singing those straight to God. And it's made every like portion of worship more sweet and authentic. There's not usually something I want to just kind of get through or something like that. And just the musical part of that expression to God as a musician has just become sweeter and Yeah, and both, everyone benefits, whether you're someone that is creating music or enjoying it from others, and you can appreciate that and join in, you know. And my voice is struggling. Once I think I get through it, it's just like, I'm still bad. But anyways, so we were just talking about worship, but kind of in the musical sense, but obviously it's everything, all of our obedience and walk with God. So, yeah, so we just kind of talked, and he's like, well, would you want to come and share a few of those thoughts of just kind of making each part of it just meaningful and what you mean to God, not just kind of going through it and, yeah, kind of, like, I should, you know, I know this old song, I just kind of getting through it, but really laying hold of that and being yourself with it and stuff. And so I guess that was all that I want to share. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. So yeah, I feel like being challenged in that way, you know, especially for even people who do ministry all the time, you know, we can kind of, like she said, we can kind of just go through the motions, or it can just be something that we're kind of almost feels like clocking in, clocking out, or maybe that's coming here on Sunday, and it's like you hear a song, but like actually really connecting with what the Lord is talking to you about in each one of those things, and for everyone who does worship here, leads worship here, like truly zeroing in and sharing with the congregation those songs that are resonating with your heart. Because really that's what worship leading is then. It's like you're not cultivating something, like the Lord still has to show up. But when you're singing and worshiping and playing out of a heart of sincerity, like that's, like that is worship. And so, yeah, so I was really glad that she had felt that, been sharing that with me, and then got to share that with you guys. And so I'll invite the worship team to go ahead and come back up here. And like I said, I'd kind of like for this to be a time where for each one of us, we zero in a little bit on what the Lord is saying to us. Like, what are those things that he's putting on my heart? And maybe some of you already know right away what that is. You're like, okay, I've been feeling this for quite some time. I know that this is a new area, a new sphere, something the Lord wants me to step out and doing. Maybe that's hosting more. Maybe you're just like, man, I need to have more of my brothers and sisters over for dinner. Maybe that's, like I said, speaking to your coworkers. Maybe that's being more generous. Whatever that looks like, those are the things that we want to step into that the Lord's calling us to. I mentioned a few of the things in my life that I've been challenged to start stepping into more. And so let's do this. Let's just go ahead and stand together as a family. Erica?
Before we do this, I forgot to mention this earlier, and I don't want anybody to leave before I say it. We have a basket up here, and we just want to take up a special offering for this team that's come from Kansas City. They've really sowed into our worship teams this weekend in a big way, and so we just want to bless them. And so if you want to just ask the Lord if there's anything you want to give towards them, on the piano, there is a basket.
Thank you. So let me just pray for us now as we kind of enter into this time together. And then we'll just go for a little bit. And then Erica, whenever we're finished up, you can close us down. But dear Lord, thank you for, Lord, for this family here in Pagosa Springs. Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in each life here. Lord, I just ask this special Father blessing over each person here, that if that's something that individuals have had a hard time connecting with, Lord, today they would walk away with a fresh understanding of the Father's heart over them, a fresh understanding of 1 John 3:1. But Lord, in all of our lives, I just ask that as we worship, as we pray, Lord, as we bring joys, concerns, burdens, illnesses, sins before you, Lord, that we would feel your response towards us, that you, that we would feel, Lord, the direction that you're moving our hearts, and that then, Lord, we would actually have faith to step out in those things. Yes, Lord, I just ask for, Lord, for restoration on any heart here that is heavy. Lord, we thank you for your renewal. We thank you for that shalom that only you bring, the nothing that's missing, nothing that's broken, a complete vessel, a complete jar, Lord, that can be filled, that can be poured out, that can be filled again. So, Lord, as we search our own hearts, Lord, I just ask that you would reveal those things to us, Lord, that we could step out in faith, that we could worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that all those around us would be impacted for the gospel, Lord, as we cultivate the place of worship and prayer in our own lives. In Jesus' name.